Dana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. And this is Happy Hour, and welcome back. We have Jonna, we have Carol, and we have another fantastic show ahead for you. We're going to talk numbers today. We're going to find out what some of them mean, and we're going to talk to a guy that, if you take a look at a picture of him, he actually does look like he should be sitting on the top of a mountaintop, yes, waiting for people to climb the mountain to ask him questions of the universe. Yogi Akal.
Yogi Akal. Yes. He is super cool. We've talked to him before. He's a numerologist, and he's going to do some readings. We posted on Facebook and got some couples to give us their birth dates, and he's going to do some readings on that, as well as we're going to play a little game with some celebrity birth dates, and we're going to tell those birth dates to Yogi Akal. He's going to give us a relationship reading, and then we'll tell you which celebrity couples are talking about. But he's really cool. So yeah, he does have that whole look, Frankenberry. Right.
I had never actually seen him. I know we talked to him before in the past, but I decided to go to just go online today, and I took a look because I wanted to see how to spell his last name, and there he was. And I'm like, wow, he...
But wait until you hear his voice. He's like the coolest sounding
Yogi we've ever met.
And
he probably hasn't worn shoes in like 30 years. I guarantee you he hasn't.
Who's that guy on that reality show that walks through the woods with no shoes on? Bear Grill or something like that?
He doesn't wear shoes?
I don't know.
He's cute. He drinks...
I don't think we're talking about the same guy.
He drinks pee if he needs to.
Bear Grylls?
Yes. Yeah. I don't think so. But I think he wears shoes. For sure.
And then we're not talking about the same guy, because I don't think you consider him cute. But anywho, how you feeling?
All right. Well, I got to tell you guys.
Yeah. Just to give you guys the heads up, what do you call them? The cruds?
The death crud.
Jonna has been experiencing the death crud for like a week and a half now.
Yeah.
So we will let her explain how this has gone.
Well, hang on. So first of all, let me just say the last week was really rough, because it was like I didn't know whether I wanted to die, like if I was going to welcome death, or whether really my number was up and I was fighting it, and that's why it was so terrible.
But, well, and you know what? I think that you're not exaggerating right now. I actually think that's an accurate description of where your head was at, because you went to urgent care.
Oh, my God. Not only did I go to urgent care, but I camped out at my parents' house, curled up in a ball in their spare room, just summoning bowls of soup, and they would show up like magic. I was
did
that
they give a little
sick.
Bell? Did they have a little bell inside your bed?
They didn't give me a bell, so I would just scream from down the hall, and then I'd end it with... You know, but my mother couldn't do it to me. She's my mother. She's got to take care of me. But oh my God. So for everybody listening, apparently the flu this year, and I laughed at it. All the reports are like, oh my God, flu. Nothing will stop the flu. If you get the flu, you're going to die. The flu's awful. Everyone's going to die of the flu. And I'm like, flu schmoo. I don't get flu shots.
I've never gotten one either.
In my entire life. So I ignored it, and then all of a sudden, the universe is like, oh, you want to ignore the flu? I'm coming to give you the flu.
Watch this. Zap!
I got sick like a week and a half ago, and with the chills, and you couldn't touch my skin, and I was jumping out of my skin. I'm like, ah, this must be that flu that they speak of. But then it got like, it went from the flu to into my head, then into my chest. Like, I still, like, I feel like I have an elephant on my chest. So I finally broke down, because I think after, like, my mother's like, you have to go to a doctor. I break down, and I go to the doctor. Now, when you don't get sick much, you don't really know doctor protocol. I'm sorry. Right. I mean, I've been on this planet for a little bit. I don't get sick, really. So I walk into, I'm going to say it. Can I say it? Where I walked into?
Well, you just say it's an urgent care of some type, yeah.
Well, I thought
she's
it was a
name that she's going to name the. All right, don't name it.
I thought it was an urgent care of some type at where I've been before. Two words rhymes with wealth messed. So I walk in there now on a day where I sound pretty good today, but I like had messed. No voice. So I go walking in, and I'm, you know, sweaty, and I'm fluish, and I'm dying, and I'm walking, and I'm like, I gotta see a doctor. Right? And the woman behind the window doesn't even like scoot over to the window. She goes, "Are you a patient here?" And I go,
I'm picturing the woman behind the window in Monsters, Inc. right now.
So I say to her, "Well, I mean, I've been a patient at a wealth mess before, just not this one." And she goes, "If you're not an established patient, we're not going to see you. You got to go down the street to the We're not in urgent care. We're not in urgent care."
Oh my God!
So now I'm like, I don't know whether to cry or choke her, right? Because I really think that I'm dying.
No, here's what you needed to do.
What?
Cough on her.
Don't you worry. That happened, and I can't even say I did it on purpose.
What do you mean?
It was just,
blah, blah, right. I can't get in.
Well, I'll be an established patient as soon as the doctor takes me. So now you know that I'm sick when I don't even have the energy to fight with somebody stupid. So I take my sick butt out, march into my car, follow the breadcrumbs to the urgent care where all the other non-established patients.
And the breadcrumbs went. Were all the dead people from the flu?
Yep.
Okay.
All the crumpled up tissues.
Now I've convinced myself, however, that I've really got something bad. So I go to this urgent care and I'm sitting there and I'm looking around. There's a whole lot of other unestablished patients coughing. We're getting each other's cooties. And I hear, like, one after the other is going in and they're walking out with chest x-rays. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. I'm going to get a chest x-ray. It's going to be pneumonia. They're probably going to admit me to the hospital. What am I going to do? Should I tell anybody? Blah, blah, blah. So it's finally my turn. I walk in, sit down, and the doctor comes in. She's wearing, like, really cool boots. I'm like, oh, those are cool boots. So we talk about the boots.
Of course you did.
But then, so she asked me some questions, and I am, listen, I'm laying it on thick. I'm like, and this hurts, and that hurts, and I can't do, and that hurt. Oh, see, hurt. My eyeballs, can't move them, can't blink, can't do any of that. And I'm just waiting for her to go, chest x-ray, room B, right? I'm just waiting for that to happen.
Because you wanted one?
Well, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't dying.
She wanted to fit in with the rest of the crowd, though, too. You know, Jana.
Which one of these is not like the other?
I'm on a chest x-ray. So she gets all done with her little examination poo, her little cute exam, and she's like, "Yeah, you got a sinus infection. I'm going to put you on an antibiotic for 10 days. If it gets worse, call us." I'm like, what? No chest
x-ray?
I wanted
like I was a sinus infection? That's it. Are you sure I'm not sicker?
Wait, you don't understand. Did I explain it?
Wait, I told everybody I was dying. No. Sinus infection?
That's right. You needed proof.
Don't make a liar out of me.
Of the melodramatic Jana health issue. That's what you needed. You needed to be able to go back to your
sinus
mom and dad.
Sinus infection?
Sinus infection. That's what she said I had. But
so you couldn't take the x-ray to your mother for more bowls of soup, could you?
But I don't understand. Wait
a
minute.
Did you tell your mother that's all you had?
Yeah. But I want to know how a sinus infection gets in your chest. Like, hear that?
I do hear it, actually.
So,
because it drips.
Oh, is that what it does?
Yeah, it drips down the back, and you breathe it in and out.
That's sexy.
That's how your throat gets a little sore sometimes with a sinus infection as well.
Well, I mean, the good news is, so she puts me on this antibiotic that could kill anything. And they actually prescribe it for pneumonia, as well as chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis. You name it, they prescribe it for it.
So who did you get this cold from? Because those were all fairly similar.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't even, and that's, I'm joking, but I'm not joking, because my one of my receptionists, Diane, who I absolutely love.
Me
she's,
too.
She's like, "What antibiotic are you on?" And I told her, and she texted me, and she's like, "That antibiotic cures syphilis, gonorrhea?" I'm like, "That's not why I'm on it." But anyway, so I'm mid antibiotic, and I actually do feel better, but I had no idea that you cannot just walk into any old doctor's office these days. When I was a kid, you could walk into any old doctor's office and a doctor was going to see you.
Well, you know that's not how this stuff works anymore. It's just, it's purposely confusing. It's just,
I mean,
it's well, overly confusing.
I guess
overly
they
got to
have baselines on everybody. You know, they want to know your history and...
I'd never been to this urgent care. I had to fill out 18 forms.
I'm with you.
Well,
I go once a year to my gyno.
That's it. Don't need to go any other
time.
But
at least it's good you went to an urgent care and not a hospital. Because if you'd walked into the hospital, it would have been like $1,200 just to walk in the freaking door. So, you know, this...
And 9, 8, 10 hours.
So...
The last time I walked into an emergency room, for an it was for vertigo. Have you guys ever had vertigo?
No. Was this in Manhattan when you claimed that you were dying from an earache?
Oh, I remember
Frankenberry, remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember this very well.
And then she was disappointed
in that doctor.
Like,
it
because
lasted like three shows.
The diagnosis wasn't bad enough.
Excuse me. I was dying from an earache, which led to vertigo. So I went to this, which I thought was an urgent care, but it's a mobile emergency room. And they wouldn't let me leave until they strapped me down and did like a brain EKG, an MRI, tested me for a heart attack. I was there for 4 hours.
Wow.
And they're like, and I'm like, you guys don't understand. My ear hurts. Well, you could have had a stroke. What? No, I couldn't have. So it was a nightmare. Like, they overdid it. I walk into urgent care here in Poughkeepsie. I want a chest x-ray. I walk out with antibiotics for syphilis. In Manhattan, I just want a prescription for syphilis, and I walk out with a brain MRI. I mean, come on.
You can never get your porridge just right now, can you?
No, never. It's never warm enough or cold enough.
Yeah, I was texting your mother because I would texted you a little bit. But
another thing.
What?
Oh, Carol wants to know how you're doing. She's so sweet, that Carol. K-A-R-O-L. Yeah. Well, she can't spell your name the same.
That's all right. She loves me and she's sending me chicks.
She can't even spell it incorrectly.
No, she can't even spell it incorrectly.
Okay.
Well, I didn't want to wake you up, so I would check with her. And then the last day I checked with her, she's like, yeah. Would she say she flew the coop? No, she's left my care.
Talk about dramatic.
It's running in the family.
So if anything happens to her.
Hey, look, I empathize with you because I got very sick at the end of last year
it started with
a sinus infection. Now I had other issues, you know, with an adrenal issue.
Yeah, you got issues, all right.
Well, yeah, there is that. We were talking about me being single earlier, weren't we? But I do recall, though, one of the last times I had ever walked into an emergency room before I started going to urgent cares was the time that I walked in, and when the doc said, because I had a pain. I think I told you guys, is this the pain in the back of my knee?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
the Batman underwear.
But that could be a clot. Oh, that's right.
The Batman underwear. So that's one of the other reasons I don't want to walk into an emergency room besides paying $1,200 when you walk in the door.
You too.
Well, that's the WebMD thing.
Uh-huh.
That's what happens when you go to WebMD.
And I'll tell you what, doctors must love that because we all walk in, not we all, because we don't get sick very, but, you know, we.
Universally.
So we walk in and like, I don't feel good or this hurts. And I think it might be this. Or I looked up and I read that doctors must love that.
Yeah, I mean, Carol,
that
look right
little
now.
Bit of information that we get off of WebMD.
You have a freckle on your cheek.
Does it look bigger than last week?
If we looked at WebMD right now and just Googled freckle on cheek, you would be dead before you walked out of this room. You know that, right?
I'd be scraping it off tonight myself.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so can you imagine, like, it's got to be a little frustrating as a doctor to have all of these self-diagnoses, you know, that we look that stuff up.
Yeah, the doctors that you're eventually able to get to.
Right.
Yes, if you're able to get to an actual
doctor.
The ones
with nice boots.
That's right. Well, at least.
You got to have some sort of icebreaker, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and they were good boots. I'm like, you know, I may be dying, but I still have good taste. I can still notice these things.
I can still say to myself, man, I wish I had bought those before I died.
Right.
Oh, my
goodness. So, anyway. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah.
You got to spend time with your adorable little puppies.
Yes.
That's a win.
That was a plus.
Nancy felt needed.
Another plus.
Got to take care of her grown daughter. You know, we never outgrow our need for our moms.
That's true. We
don't
never do.
Tell them that.
No, don't let them know that whatever you do. And I'm on the mend. So to everybody out there who has been suffering with the death crud.
A.K.A. the flu.
A.K.A. the
or
flu.
Sinus infection.
Sinus infection or whatever is ailing you. I feel your pain. I really do. And I will say this. I think the thing that helped me the most was I took 2 days and just didn't move. You really got to rest with this thing.
Yeah,
you
and
really
I got
do.
And that's hard for you.
Very hard.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, because you got just a bit busy schedule. So you were able to reschedule some of the Fox stuff and some of the other stuff down in the city?
Yeah, I actually cleared the decks. I like canceled my appearances and they were like, when do you want to come back? I'm like, I'll get back to you because you just don't know when this thing's going to end.
Yeah.
So, well, the last thing they want is you coming and making everybody else sick, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't want that. But,
no.
You know.
You're
so
glad to hear it.
All right, so we've got Yogi Akal.
Enough of the crud. Yes. So stick with us. When we come back, we will be talking with Yogi Akal. He's a numerologist. We're going to talk about what that is. This guy is super cool. We've talked to him before, and he's going to be doing some readings. We got some birth dates of couples, and he's going to give us some relationship readings. We're also going to do some celebrity couples.
Because we're coming up on Valentine's Day.
Yes, that's exciting.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no.
Okay. All right, so for everybody out there who was looking forward to Valentine's Day in a couple of weeks, you're welcome. We'll be back with Yogi Akal, and we'll talk some numbers and relationships. It's all on the way. This is Happy Hour on K104.
Donna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Donna and Carol.
It is Happy Hour on K104 with Jonna and Carol, and we have returned, and we are about to talk to a very, very cool guy, and we are going to talk numbers and relationships, and Yogi is on the line with us.
I love this guy. We have with us Yogi Akal. Now, get this. Bet you never heard this before. He's a visionary incubator of innovation.
That sounds important.
It sounds very important. He has a distinguished record advising governments, corporations, and private individuals. Over the years, he's built a powerful network of influential people, us included, who respect and apply his counsel. He has guided world leaders and CEOs to achieve maximum results, overcome obstacles, and go beyond their expectations. He's a dynamic and compelling speaker. He's conducted hundreds of programs for universities, media outlets, government agencies. Also, very, very a big advocate of working tirelessly for peace and human rights. So he is going to talk with us about, I want to first talk about what the study of numerology is, how you're reading numbers and how that helps people. And then we're going to get into some relationships. Welcome back to our show, Yogi Akal.
Thank you very much. Good to be back.
Yeah, glad to have you. Told you he was going to be cool sounding. Okay, so first, before we get into some of the readings, tell us a little bit more about yourself. You know, the man behind the bio, how you got into this field, and what it means to you with reading numbers and numerology. What is the significance of this?
Well, when I was very young, I'd say 40 some odd years ago, I explored some of the things that were like tarot and numerology and parapsychology out of just curiosity, some of it to debunk it and some of it just for fun. And one of the things I found was that numerology actually had a history. It had, it wasn't just a bunch of symbols. It was based on seasons and very practical cycles that people could relate to. And then in the 1970s, I was introduced to an ancient yogic system that was the original Merlin type of advice, the idea that there would be somebody who could advise the rich, the powerful. And the idea was to have a very good understanding of personal cycles, personal potential, auspicious timing, as well as some of the ancient cycles that we're governed by on the earth. I was able to study that, and then I turned it into a system that could work for us in our modern day. It's a lot of fun. I mean, this is not intended to be anything more than a weather report. You look at the weather, you need the weather, but at the same time, you decide whether or not you're going to take an umbrella if they predict rain, or if they say it's going to snow, you go, well, I don't know, it doesn't smell like snow. But we take precautions anyway.
And you do love it. Anytime that we talk to you, we can tell, like, you have a passion for this.
Well, I have a passion for working with people to get more out of their lives.
Oh.
And if numerology is one of the ways that they can get a little bit of assistance by understanding where they are in their lives, the better it is. It's the origin of yogic counseling. And since as a yogi, my responsibility within that lineage is to make sure that yogic counseling is available.
Wow.
But today we're having fun. It's Valentine's month. And my belief is that love is a force that needs to be practiced.
Oh,
we like to think, you know, the typical American dream is I'm going to work until I don't have to work anymore. I'm going to find love so I don't have to look for love anymore. But really, a more realistic way to look at love is something that you practice. And you want to give your best to the people who are the closest to you or the ones that mean the most to you. Every virtue, every value, every quality, you need to practice it. Just like muscle building, you have to keep it alive.
You know, that makes sense to me. I've been married for 15 years, and I still regularly express my love and appreciation to my husband, like on a regular basis. And he'll be like, thank you, I needed that today. And you might think, oh no, you should know that. And I don't think so. I think we all could use that reinforcement. And the practice
Many years ago, a student of mine said, I know that you get up very early in the morning and you do a meditation practice, and this is your way of being very centered in your life. But I have to tell you, I have my own practice. I wake up every morning, I look at my husband, and I remember that I love him. And I said, oh, that sounds very romantic and sweet. She said, no, it's work. It's awful. She said, there are days when it is so sweet, and then days when I look at them and go, oh, I'm really going to have to fake this one. But the idea is that she's made it a practice. She's made it a spiritual practice for her own life. She said, I wake up every morning, I look at that guy and go, yep. And then she governs herself accordingly. And I found that very telling.
Wow.
Because she didn't take it for granted. She didn't say, well, you're mine now. She said, I'm going to work at it every day.
I think that's brilliant advice.
And in some relationships, that is easier than others. Different lessons to learn. And some relationships have an off button and an expiry date. And that does happen. It's not the end of the world. It just means it's time to move on. And sometimes that's hard to do.
You're right, but sometimes that's the fact, and don't fight that natural course of things. Let it open up something else for you.
That's the ideal scenario. I mean, the idea is not to judge. That's not the purpose of any of these systems. The purpose is to help get the most out of one's life. If you know that it's winter, then you know that that's the time when you want to make sure you have your heat ready and that you're planning to go somewhere warmer, or else get out the skis. So you can plan for these seasons and get the most out of them.
Yogi, I have a stupid question, because I dabble in numerology the way I dabble in, like, astrology. Like, I'm totally into it. I like to know what my numbers are, what they mean, and all that good stuff. And I recently I did one of these things online where it told me what kind of numbers I have. And apparently, unless they were just trying to sell me something, I have two very unique numbers in my reading. Like, they say it's rare to have an 11 and it's rare to have a 22. Is that bunk or is that for real? Because I spent $37.
Well, I can tell you didn't spend $37 with me. I would never have said anything like that. First of all, I'm not involved in any sort of superstition or even the value or meaning of numbers. I'm more interested in the pattern that it gives us and how we can better understand why we're here. And when you understand that, then it makes more sense and you can get the most out of it. If you have 11 in your birthday, in your life, some people wake up and see 11 everywhere. That means that you are moving in the direction of inspiration. And that's a good thing to know, because the negative of that is that when you don't feel like that, you have to make sure you're in gear, because if not, it becomes very conflicted. That's the advantage of being able to know your talents and your gifts and your lessons in life, is that you can adjust yourself along the way. So when things are not working the way you want them to, you can go, well, I am learning. Or, no, that is really my greatest gift, is to be able to be tolerant. Why don't I use that now?
See, and I think that's the key to life, to be able to adjust. Like, I had when you have a bad week, a bad day, or what have you, and it just doesn't feel natural and right, and you can't figure out why, can't numerology help you in that department? Like, what is going on with me? What do I need to do to get out of this funk, for example? Like, that's it can help, can't it?
I can tell you that I use only one word. It's the P word when one's having a bad day, and that's perspective. I know it's an old cliche to say, oh, but somebody else has a worse problem than you, but it's really true.
Right. Yeah,
I know, because my phone rings all day long, and somebody will say, I'm having a very bad day, and the next person who calls has a much worse day.
Yep.
So I always remind people that perspective is everything. I'm not saying that one doesn't have difficulty.
Yep.
But, you know, if your nerves are strong, you can really deal with anything.
And you know what? You know what's funny that you mentioned that, is because I have found myself doing that more recently than I ever have in at any point in my life. I mean, sure, I had plenty of times when my mother would say, "You've got to eat that because the cliched ones." But now I find myself, I'll get frustrated by something very, very quickly, and then immediately I will say to myself, "But you know what?
Good for you.
I'm still breathing through this frustration." You know what I mean? I'm still here, and my frustration is very very first world.
Good for you. Healthy.
Yeah. I actually had that situation happen to me a number of years ago in New York. I was on a radio show, and somebody called me up after the show, and I was a little concerned because I don't usually take calls after a show, but it was a very, very intense, difficult, emotional, and awful situation that the person was talking about. It involved a child, and the child had been orphaned and said, there's only one person I think I could talk to, and that's you. And I just felt very honored in that moment that they thought they could talk to me, but their circumstance was so awful that I realized that I never have a bad day. That young man is having a bad day. I don't. And he didn't even think he was having a bad day. He just wanted help to solve his problem.
Wow.
So after that moment, I thought, I'm not even going to say it anymore. I'm not going to say I'm having a bad day. I can say, oh, you know, there's things that are challenging me right now. Because this is where we have to remember, as you said, first world issues. On this side of the world, we really don't have a lot of problems. The problems that we have are solvable. Everything
right.
is solvable.
Right.
And that's a good thing to remember.
Very good thing to remember. Let's keep in mind, we wanted to talk Valentine's and relationships.
Yep.
So I'll talk to you all day long. We all love this stuff.
Yeah, we
love you.
Before we do get there, one quick question. What Jonna mentioned earlier about the $37 that she spent on the 11 and the 22. Is there a number out there for Rube?
For Rube?
For Rube. You know, if somebody's a real Rube, is there a number
What's a Rube?
To designate?
What's a Rube?
Well, you know,
Yogi knows what it is.
No, not at all. No, what he's saying is there. Is there a minimum? Is that a polite way to put it?
The answer is no. I didn't think there would be. I just figured, you know, there might be a number for somebody who's basically just a gullible rube.
That number's $7.
Oh my God!
Every single person has 12 different aspects to them, to their life, to their light, to their possibilities. And in numerology, you look at those 12 different aspects, you try to keep them in balance, and then assess which ones could use a little extra help. For example, the number zero, when we think about zero, we tend to think of it as, oh, there's no one home, there's nothing there. But in the yogic system of numerology, zero means that you have complete and total control over yourself. So there's no ego. You have control over your own being. And that is so powerful that any value or quality or virtue that you wish to express can be done freely without any resistance at all. And it takes a lot of practice to develop that. So zero is not considered something to be empty. It's considered to be really a great humane consciousness.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, so can we give you our first couple birthdays?
Yeah, let's have some fun with Valentine's. You're going to give me, you sent me in advance.
Yes.
Birthdays with no names. I have no idea who they
Correct.
Are. I haven't tried to guess. I just did some quick numerology calculations for each one. So if you give me the birthdays again so other people can hear them.
Okay.
I will just say something about the relationship, and then you'll say, oh my God, this is not good.
I don't think so. Okay, so the first couple, this was a response that we got on our Facebook post, 2/5/1985 and 6/29/1978.
So my response to this couple is that timing is everything, and sometimes that's really hard, because in this particular relationship, they're always a little bit off. When one person's getting started, one person's trying to finish things up. When one person's really excited about something, the other person's not quite there yet. Now, the advantage to that type of a relationship is that you can have a lot of fun with that. The disadvantage is if you have an expectation that you want to be with someone who's like you, this one's not smart. And it's a terrible expectation to have, by the way. If you're looking for someone who's like you, buy a mirror. If you really want to have a good relationship with somebody and you just want companionship, get a dog. But if what you want is to be next to somebody and share that with them, don't expect the same thing from them. But again, the process with this couple is timing, and that is everything.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
All right.
Okay, we have another one for you. And this was also in response to our Facebook post. 4/9/1970 and 1/26/1966.
Okay, now in this relationship, there are a lot of values. This is really the key to the relationship, the values, values, values. And one of them, I won't say which one, has a tendency to try to hold the bar a little higher, to try to get the other person to reach up. And then it maybe is a little judgmental sometimes. So stop that, whoever that is, stop it right now. Because here's the essence of the relationship. It is based on creativity. One of these people is very quiet in terms of the way they think, not necessarily their behavior, but the way they think, and the other person isn't. when they walk into a room, they want to be acknowledged. It's not ego. It's just that's how their ecosystem works. And the other person is, let's just keep it on the down low. So in this relationship, I would say the most important thing is the values and to not sacrifice them at all, but be very tolerant of the other person and work. Both of these people have to be working.
Got it. Mm, cool. All right, so now we're going to start getting into a little bit of celebrity territory here, okay?
Okay.
So here's the two birth dates. 6-9-1963 and 2-8-1941.
Oh, I don't know who this is, and it's I don't want to say this too abruptly, but one of these people is just not telling the truth. So the relationship between the two...
This is great.
The relationship is not a bad relationship. It's just that one is not really on the ball with that. So here's the beauty of it. You have more than one chance in life, even in a relationship. And in this couple, that's the only thing that matters. Whether it's a work relationship, whether it's a marriage relationship, whether it's a parental relationship, whatever it is, take more than one chance. And I would say do that daily.
Okay.
Who is this?
You are going to...
We ain't telling.
You're going to crack up. Okay. This is my mother and Johnny Depp.
But you nailed it because she's lying. She has no relationship with Johnny Depp.
Well, she does have a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Oh, my goodness.
Every day.
That is so funny. Okay. All right. So the next, this is a true celebrity couple.
Okay.
And then we'll tell people at the end who it is. 1-5-1975 and 1-6-1986.
This is a physical relationship.
Yes.
This is a relationship that's based on how they like each other to look. Oh. And the beautiful part is that when they look good, they're not that happy. And when they're just relaxed, they're phenomenally content. Finding that relaxation point is the challenge of this couple, individually and together.
And that would pretty much explain any celebrity couple, right?
This is a really good time for them to be making money. If they're in a situation of making money, one of them has to give it away, the other one has to keep it. But there's a lot of money flowing around them.
When are they going to part company?
There's a possibility this year, but I doubt it very much. I mean, the next two years are very sort of up and down again just because of the timing, but I wouldn't recommend it. If they need help, they should go to counseling.
A little tumultuous. Well, I'll be sure to let them know that counseling is not in their best interest.
And here's why, Yogi. The couple that you just read is Bradley Cooper and his baby mama, Arena Shake. And Jonna has a little bit of a thing for Bradley Cooper.
I love Bradley Cooper.
Sorry about that.
You hurt me all over, Yogi.
Jonna's got vindictive thoughts right now, Yogi. And this shouldn't be happening in this conversation.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. All right. So
you are good.
Yeah,
wow.
He's good.
A lot of money based on looks. You nailed it.
Yep.
All right. Here's an interesting one for you. Okay.
Okay.
Another celebrity couple. 6-14-1946. 4-26-1970.
Whoa, that's a bit of an age gap.
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, this relationship really has nothing to do with age at all. The relationship is based on what they're going to give to the planet. These are people that when they work together, there are extremes, but when they work apart, when they work together, it's extreme. And when they work apart, nothing happens at all. They have to work together, whatever it is they're doing. I don't know what kind of a relationship it is, but this is where unity makes a huge difference. Who are these people?
Can I guess? Oh. Wait, before you tell him, can I guess who it is?
Sure.
Is it Catherine Zeta-Jones and what's his face?
No. Oh. Good guess,
no.
Though.
Right.
Donald and Melania Trump.
Really? Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, but the only thing is, though, that they can't work together. Because any time they are together, it doesn't go well.
That's in the public eye.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's in the public eye. But, you know,
I got
remember you. That there is a child.
Yep.
Yes, there is bear. You know,
and one I believe is holding the other one up, and I won't say which is which, but there it is.
Okay. All right, got another celebrity couple.
Okay.
9/15/1984
mm-hmm.
and 8/4/1981.
These people are funny. I mean, they're just funny. I hope they have a lot of jokes in their life, because nothing in their life should be serious. And if it is serious, they're just going down the wrong path. They should just be having a lot of fun all day long. That's really why they're on the planet, is for fun. And, you know, everybody has serious things. Everybody has lessons to learn. But for these people, they should just have fun, share fun, be fun. Hope it's not a political couple.
Well,
who are these folks?
Well, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're a fun-loving couple. Yes.
Yeah.
Sure, so that totally makes sense. All right, I got one more for you. You up for it?
You have to understand, for people like that, having fun means something different than when you and I mean. What I mean by that is, when we think of having fun, we usually think of it as like a release. Something's terrible, let's go have fun instead.
Right.
Let's balance things out with fun. But in their life, fun is actually a way of life that is positive. It's a positive thing. And when they're not having fun, it's kind of a waste.
Interesting. Wow, that's so fascinating. Yeah. Okay, one more.
All right, here we go.
10.
Drum roll.
10/21/1980 mm-hmm. and 6/8/1977.
Wow, you're making me work today. Wow, wow. This is a difficult couple. This is a difficult, difficult couple. Not because they shouldn't be together, but because there's just every day there's something new that comes up. The reason these two are together, for whatever they're doing, whether it's work or entertainment or politics or just folks you know, it's just to work things out. Work things out. As soon as they figure something's been taken care of, something new comes up. Now, you may say that happens a lot. That does happen a lot. But for these people, it's probably in the public eye. And that's what's different about it. And they shouldn't bother to hide it, because there's no possible secret they could ever, ever have. If they do something, they'll be caught.
That's pretty accurate.
That kind of fits.
Yeah, so that was Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Well, these are interesting folks, because I remember years ago I did a little overview of Kim. And at the time, I think she was involved in some sort of controversy where she seemed like she was a lightweight. And I said, nobody understands her. She just wants to be a mom. It's all she wants in her life. And I believe I called that one correctly.
Yeah.
Because for some people, no matter what they do, no matter who they are, they have a different kind of standard. I mean, in her public life, it seems like she's irrelevant. But the fact is, that's all she wants in life. And good for her.
She got that. That would make sense. And, I'm of the belief, we look at celebrities and think, oh, they got the life because they may have the glamour and they may have the fame and they may have the cars. And I look at it like that can't all be fun to live life in the public eye. And to all a certain extent, you don't even have total control over your life once you
choose that. It's a very different kind of lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah, very interesting.
Yes, it's very much a birdcage kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
It works for them. This is not a lifestyle that's bad for them. But remember, they're working things out all the time. And that's not a bad thing. They can help each other with that.
Yogi, is there a way that you can incorporate numerology into your life on a daily basis to, be happier, better, jump higher, run faster? Like, is there a way you can do that?
I do.
But how? How do you do the
average person?
I pay attention to it like I would pay attention to the weather. So I would take a look at what cycle am I in right now. It doesn't have to govern my life, but I'll pay attention to it. So if I'm in a cycle in my life where I'm thinking, well, this is a time for certain, it's a really good time for endings, then I'll think, okay, is there something I need to give away? Is there something I haven't finished? And it will remind me of this. It doesn't mean that I have to do that, but it's a good reminder. And I'll also use it as a As a guide for when I'm looking at a decision in my life and I'm thinking, is this really the best thing for me? I'll take a quick look at this and go, does this help me in the ecosystem and map of my life? And if it does, let's move forward. And if it doesn't, let me re-examine it and see why I'm thinking about it.
Smart.
So I use it as a sounding board and as a reference tool. And when I use it, of course, in working with other people to kind of a shortcut to better understand them so we can get to the point faster.
Yogi, is numerology simply your own personal numbers as they relate to things in your life, or is there also numerology for saying, hey, look at today's date, just in general? Are there trends or cycles just in general, no matter what your personal numbers are?
Yes, there's you, there's the planet, there's the pattern of the people you work with or you live with, there's corporations and countries. Anything that has a beginning can be looked at through time. And that's what numerology is. It's the study of time. Even though we use numbers and in some systems use letters, the origin of it is to understand the seasons of life, the cycles and seasons of life. And when you understand that, aside from the ones that are organic to everybody, to understand your own and the pattern of cycles that happen, that gives you a richer and deeper understanding of life and gives you a few extra tools in the toolkit. And these days, your toolkit should be filled with more than apps.
Yeah.
Ooh, well said.
And then, Yogi, another question for you is in the numerology, and I could be looking at it wrong, but it might be a question somebody asked, how do you assign particular numbers to what we've what you've just mentioned there? And you say you're looking at your cycles, you say you know there's numbers involved and you know with the people that you work with, as long as it has a beginning, do you assign a number to it, or does something just kind of come to you out of that?
No, the beginning of something is its date of origin. We call it a birth date. So the incorporation of a company, the moment of independence of a country, the birth date and time of an individual.
Okay.
That gives you the essential five or six numbers that help to make the map. And with that, you can determine why is a person here, what do they really have to learn, what are their greatest gifts, what do they have to accomplish, and what's the lever they have to make changes in their life. And that gives you the reference or the map, and with the cycles of life, shows you sort of their timescape. Now, that can change. The beauty of this, and this is, I think, the shift in the 21st century, is that all of humanity, every individual on the planet, every country, every company, has the opportunity, the authority, and really the duty to change. The question is, how can you change, and how do you change for the better? And that's the challenge of everybody on the planet for more than it's ever been. Change has always been a good thing. We've always had progress. But in this century, we do it faster, we do it collectively, and we do it more consciously. And it affects us in every area of our lives.
How can people learn more about you, Yogi? And do you have any programs, training programs? What do you have available that people who are intrigued by what they've heard from you tonight?
If you're interested in the numerology, I do run a very thorough, comprehensive course online, and it's free right now. You go to yogiacallacademy.com, and you can find out about the course and just take it online. It's very thorough. It's not going to tell you what your numbers mean right away. It'll take you through a process. It takes a few months to a year to go through, but it's free. So if you have any desire to learn more about it, go ahead and find out about it from yogiacallacademy.com.
So that's Y-O-G-I-A-K-A-L. Y-O-G-I-A-K-A-L.com. Or academy.com.
Yogiacallacademy.com. If you go to yogiacall.com, you'll just find out about me. I'm not that interesting unless you're a very large business.
Yogi, I just got a tip for you. As your attorney, I'd like to let you know that you could sell that course for $37 online, and a lot of people like me will buy it.
Just give them two numbers, just tell them they're special, and they'll spend
$37.
Don't
call them a
rube. you're so great. Thanks for playing with us. Do you have any thoughts that are important to you that you would like to share in general with our listeners before we wrap up?
Yes, in Valentine's month, as I said, I believe love is a force that needs to be practiced, and the golden rule never works in love. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you simply doesn't work. It's much better to do unto others as they can understand it, as they can get it, as they need it, as they want it. Platinum rule.
We love you.
Wow.
Yogi.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, Yogi. We always enjoy talking with you.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you very much, Yogi. And for everybody that's learned something here, again, one more time, yogiacallacademy.com.
Right.
And if they want to find out about boring you, they just go to yogiacall.com, right? Okay. thank you very much, Yogi. This is Happy Hour, and we will be back. We're going to talk in...
I have the top five Valentine's gifts that women hate.
Okay. All right. I'm single, so I'll not pay attention to that at all. All right. We're coming back with Happy Hour. It's Jonna and Carol. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. We have returned. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Absolutely cool conversation with Yogi Akal, wasn't it?
He's so cool. I love him.
Yeah, he's great every single time.
And it is amazing. If you did just listen to that, I really do recommend that you just Google Yogi Akal after hearing him and then see what he actually looks like.
He looks
like a yogi. He looks like he should be holding a sitar and teaching, you know, George Harrison how to play it.
He's the real deal.
Yeah.
But his voice does not match his picture.
Well, to be fair, how many yogis have we actually spoken with?
That's true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's really our only reference point. Yeah. Maybe they all sound like him.
They could.
Yeah. Anyway, so in keeping with our Valentine's themed show, I'm going on record to let you both know that I can't stand Valentine's Day. I absolutely positively hate Valentine's Day. I'm pretty sure I've always hated it, except when I was a kid. And so I found an article that we're going to run through real quick, entitled The 5 Most Hated Valentine's Gifts Received by Women.
Oh boy, here we go.
These are not hard to guess. All right, number 1, household appliances. Duh.
Sorry. That's just funny. Hey, happy Valentine's Day, honey. Here's that vacuum you can use so much.
And you know what happens. Number 2, underwear that's too big or too small. Now, I don't know.
Oh my God, you lose either way there.
Yeah. But people try to buy like sexy, like Victoria's Secret kind of stuff. I think women do like that.
Well, you know what? Look, I realize I'm single and all, but that's where, to be safe, mm-hmm. you get a gift card and you say, here, go there, come back and surprise the hell out of me.
Some people don't like gift cards because it's work for them, but that's not on the list. What is on the list is a card with money inside. Now, you can give me that all day long. No. In fact, I would like that.
This list is saying it's bad for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, saying that women don't want to get a card with money inside.
I get that on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Flowers.
It's like paying you for your services. I don't like it.
You know, I'll take it.
Well, then you leave it on the nightstand in the morning when you leave.
Make them crisp. Make them hundreds.
Make sure you make them
bed. Make them a lot.
And non-sequential, if you can.
Right. Number 4 is... flowers from a gas station. So I guess, I mean, flowers are flowers.
Well, no. That means that you forgot. And the only thing you could do last minute was run into either a gas station or like Stop and Shop and get the prepackaged things, especially if you forget to take the little red sticker off that says $2.99 on the side or whatever, however much it costs, or $5.99. You are totally screwed if that's the case.
You know what that reminds me of? Have you ever been in a restaurant and someone comes over and tries to sell, like if you're on a date and they'll try to sell a rose to you?
Right, like the basket of roses. Here's one rose for it. Yeah.
I can't stand that.
All right.
Well, that's a little more romantic because you've already taken her to dinner and somebody's coming around with a romantic gesture. Would you like to buy this lovely date of yours a flower right here? And there you do.
It doesn't feel genuine because you can't say no to that.
But you want to say no to it.
I know. But then you're going to be a jerk if you don't. Anyway.
I don't want one of those.
What's the rest?
All right. You're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe it. There's only one more. And you're not going to believe it.
All right, number 5. Go ahead.
Chocolate.
Oh, come on. I don't mind chocolate for Valentine's Day.
It says it's the beginning of the year and people are trying to lose weight and they don't want chocolate for Valentine's Day.
I was just going
to
say, I've heard that before actually from an ex. Don't get me chocolate because it just tells me you don't mind me getting fat.
Well, you know what?
Quote,
it's
unquote.
6 weeks into the year. By the time Valentine's get here, nobody's keeping their New Year's resolution anyway. Yeah. So give me the chocolate.
And as a matter of fact, give me the chocolate, fill that card full of money, and then leave me alone.
All right, that's enough.
Happy Valentine's Day.
And since you're leaving anyway, yes, I will take those flowers you bought for $3 at the Sunoco.
Right. And while I'm wearing my oversized underwear, thank you very much.
Yes, I appreciate that.
All right, kids, that's a wrap.
All right.
Well,
be well. Stay well.
Yeah. Yes. And if you need to, if you need any tips, you need any hints on how to go through the crud Just feel free to give give Jonna a buzz, shoot her an email, ask her for tips on how not to go to the doctor or how to go to the doctor, depending on which doctor it is that you're not supposed to or supposed to go to.
I'll share my
Or go to k104online.com/happyhour and re-listen to the episode.
We can do that as well. All right, we'll be back next Sunday. We'll talk to you then. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. It's K104.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.